Blog Talk Radio.
Sports Kingdom. I'm your host, Jim Brower, the King, and today I'm going to touch on quite a bit of topics today. Like I said, we would be on the air at 12 today, live, more consistently now, starting at 12, with several things out of the way now in my schedule. Going to make this a huge priority and try to prioritize other things as well within the Sports Kingdom Realm Network. And so, like I said before, if you want to call in or contribute, you know, if you feel comfortable, if you feel like this may be something in your future, let me know. And you can, of course, reach out to us via email, skbtradio@gmail.com. Just got news. We're going to get into the Stanley Cup final. We're going to just touch on the NHL, go with 30-minute breaks in between today's show, not go nonstop as we have done in the past days now, but going to go through 30-minute breaks and first talk about the Stanley Cup final aftermath news. First, with Damon Severson reportedly signing and being traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like I mentioned previously before, Ivan Proforov was traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and now the Blue Jackets get yet another defenseman, and this time Damon Severson for a third-round pick. The Blue Jackets now sacrificing a first-round pick with Proforov, a third-round pick with now Damon Severson. I mean, they definitely have a nice mix of, I believe, talent and depth now at defensemen. They and just like Zach Werenski were hoping for a better year this past year, but the same with Jai Gaudreau. Things just did not work out the way them and the whole entire organization felt. Zach Werenski being a highly selected draft pick previously before the Columbus Blue Jackets are on the clock with a number 3 overall pick come time this year's NHL draft. After the break, I figure we'll talk about a little on what or who the Columbus Blue Jackets should decide to take ultimately with the 3rd overall pick. I mean, there's some good prospects coming out in this year's draft, and I believe the 2024 NHL draft as well. I'd say they're quite a good crop in 2024, but you know, leaning towards the 2023 NHL draft, I'll provide some insight on who the Columbus Blue Jackets should possibly take. But for now, all Columbus can worry about is that they have Damon Severson, Ivan Provorov, Zach Werenski, and certainly not Sean Walker. Sean Walker from the Los Angeles Kings was traded to the Flyers, and you know, with the Flyers, basically have a stopgap now, pretty much, in Sean Walker. They can afford to see how he does, or see how other prospects within the Flyers organization does. I was reading on one new prospect in the Flyers organization. I think his name is Elo. Starts with an A, but I know it said that the Flyers have some intriguing prospects coming up. Do they have possibly as good caliber prospects as some other teams? No, but it's been mentioned before, Flyers have first-round pick Tyson Forster, and then you know, they still have Wade Allison along with some others. The biggest question on everyone's mind is, what's going to happen with Ivan Provorov after this Severson trade? Of course, he obviously had one of the highest minutes on the Flyers roster last year, and of all Flyer defensemen. Just wonder, is he going to get a good crop of minutes? Is he going to at least get 24 or more minutes on the ice next year, along with guys such as Werenski and Severson? Now, I think it's going to be quite the battle in Columbus. Now, I figure Columbus is very, very much going after a similar QB battle you'd see in the NFL. You know, very, very, very lay low, but I think that these players are going to be ultimately competing next year amongst each other for certain spots on certain lines. Now, I mentioned defenseman. I think obviously now it's possible. Now Columbus is not going to take a defenseman with the 3rd overall pick. I'll have more later on, but in the meantime, let's. I just want to say real quick, Damon Severson, former New Jersey Devil. There's certainly been some good talent to come out of New Jersey over the years now, and I think, I don't know, maybe this is opening up a spot for Jack Hughes' brother now within the organization. I was taking a look at on NHL Network last night, some of the top defensemen real quick in assists, and there's, you know, just to name some, there's Josh Morrissey and Morrissey and Winnipeg, and then Quinn Hughes in Vancouver. Maybe one of the Columbus, Columbus Blue Jackets' defensemen should be up on that list, but I never viewed Ivan Provorov as a surefire bet in Philadelphia. And then taking a look at Severson, In my opinion, I don't know if he's going to necessarily compete at higher levels like he has done in the past, even though he's accrued many assists, many offensive opportunities. Let me quickly charge my laptop. Hang on. I am getting settled here. I gotta quickly get this Ryan or else it's gonna it's not good. This is not good. Where is it? All right, got it right here. You tell me in the comment section what you think. What you think about the Severson trade overall, and whether Ivan Provorov is going to manage to start and have maybe a better career in Columbus. I mean, I was quickly looking at Carter Hart, who hasn't yet been traded. It's been rumored that Carter Hart was going to be traded a while ago, as of this week. But I was taking a look during his early career back in 2018, started 2018 with the Philadelphia Flyers. He put on some of his best save percentages as time has passed now. He has gone on to accumulate a much less favorable save percentage. I think that could be all because many of Flyers such as Carter Hart or Ivan Provorov very well need a change of scenery. Just on a team like the Flyers, have faced much of an ordeal, and time will tell if they could possibly play elsewhere and have a much major impact. Possibly, I think Ivan Provorov just like Carter Hart has struggled with many of the past losing seasons now in Philadelphia, and could much very well benefit from a change of scenery. So with that all being said, I'm going to get back right into the Stanley Cup final now. Last night, as on my TV now, the Florida Panthers went on to finally win at least the game in the Stanley Cup final, all thanks to Higgy. Higgy getting lauded by his last name and you know, I was unexpected by May. I haven't really talked much about Rahegi prior to the Stanley Cup final. He certainly benefited from, I believe, Vegas's defense. It just really wasn't the night for Aiden Hill. And I'll say, you know, initially when I pulled up Aiden Hill versus Sir Bobrovsky, it was said that naivety was not going to play so much of a strong factor as I believe, but so with the game I saw last night, you know, I just said, how can you explain someone like Serge Bobrovsky, who had certainly his best night last night, is on the cusp of becoming a Hall of Famer and very much so benefited from not only Aiden Hill's downhill struggle in the game, but mostly what I believe to be Vegas's defense overall. It just wasn't there. Many at some points, long vertical passes you'd see in the NFL, and Tkachuk, he made the best out of some of those open scoring opportunities down ice, and then, you know, of course, then I figured after seeing some of the passes in the late stretch that the Florida Panthers would be able to nail clutch goal, even though they had the power play towards the end, and they've struggled many times in the past throughout the Stanley Cup thus far, penalty kill wise. They have a great coach, and they also, with that Ryland crowd behind them for the first time in Game 3, really much defied all odds in the overtime half, and of course ended off the game with Rahegi scoring a unbelievable goal. Now the biggest test now is to get over the hump of Game 3 and move on to Game 4. Everyone, including Tkachuk's father, who was seen drinking post game again, and a big kick out of Wayne Gretzky and the rest of the TNT crew, which by the way, I really, really dig the whole TNT set programming compared to NBC. I mean, NBC Sports, man, it just, I can maybe watch NBC Sports horse racing or a tennis match or something over here and there. But with hockey, I mean, it's definitely been much better seeing especially TNT, and especially former talent from the past like Wayne Gretzky. Oh, Henrik Lundqvist. That's a nice one. And then, yeah, some of NBC's past on-air talent. I mean, it's a good mix of on-air talent and nonetheless, it's great to see Wayne come back to broadcasting and, you know, have some choice words. Do I agree that what they said towards the end of the broadcast last night, that stats are for losers? I think stats can certainly benefit anybody, but maybe not all the time, but I think they could certainly benefit anybody, although we saw a riled up crowd in Florida, and not only has the crowd been riled up over my page just went away. Let's see here. Okay. I don't know where it went. All right. The Florida crowd was so riled up that I don't know what you guys think about Lionel Messi, Jimmy Butler, Heat, the whole rest of Florida right now. I mean, the biggest, I think, thing going on out of all of sports. Okay, NBA Finals might be going on. The Stanley Cup might be going on. But in the meantime, I think the biggest thing going on, maybe at least Miami, is Lionel Messi. I mean, I think I said before that he would be in a cessation right off the bat, be just better than the impact Beckham had previously before with the Los Angeles Galaxy. I mean, so far, based off everything I've been seeing, Miami has been going crazy, probably more crazy outside of formerly at the time FTX Arena. I know what it is now, but now outside Miami, they're going crazy over Lionel Messi, and Messi is sure showing the love right back. He said in an interview recently that he really came to play for the Miami FC club over money. And look, I believe him. It's a last place team, first of all. He may very well be in it for the money, but then again, Miami loves him already. And he's right off the bat practicing. And I think making a huge impact for MLS. The way I see it is he's going to very much transcend the sport. It's, it was on ESPN FC recently, along with David Beckham and the ESPN FC host, that guys such as not only Lionel Messi, but Ronaldo, Zlatan's now retired, but still, you got Ronaldo, and Neymar being talked about in the same breath as Inter Miami FC and Lionel Messi. I think Lionel Messi is possibly here in the States now to really, when it's all said and done, really transcend the sport, bring over other major soccer stars that happen to be worldwide marquee names, and really, I think I may be too soon saying it, everyone's talked already about the LeBron James Miami decision and Lionel Messi sort of being the latest icing on the cake there in Miami, at the very least. I'll put it this way. If Miami can transcend sales to begin off Lionel Messi's stint in MLS, I believe it's very much sure Lionel Messi can have a decent longevity career. He can very much stay around and do whatever. I think it's very much possible. I keep thinking it's very much possible he's going to retire elsewhere in a different league before it's all said and done. But then again, I think so far, Lionel Messi's impact has been felt mostly around Miami, and I think it's going to continue on very well into the future, to the point that Kendrick Perkins was saying today, he believes we're not going to see a repeat champion or dynasty in the next 15 to 20 years in the NBA based off the way the league has been structured, based off the way the league has gone, and based off the way things have shifted in terms of the NBA Finals now. There has been a repeat champion in as many years now for a while now. And he may be right. I think it could be time. We see MLS on the rise. And, you know, another league that's changing as well is the NFL. I mean, you take a look at just quarterbacks and the more athletic throughout tests and time and energy technology. Players are getting more athletic there. And I think AI is very well much on the cusp of revolutionizing the way we think of not only technology, but possibly sports and certain health management. The biggest, and right now he's on my screen, Bryce Young, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes. We're seeing an evolution take place in terms of quarterbacks. You know, it's no longer the days of the pro-style quarterback, classic laid-back quarterback and Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. The NFL's changing as well. Things are changing. And so when things change, I think the MLS could also very much change. I think the World Cup was very much eye-opening to some of the newer generations this year. Obviously to me, because it's been such a while since the U.S. have at least, won at least a couple meaningful World Cup games, even with the addition of new players now, Christian Pulisic and others. It's not any longer Landon Donovan or Howard, and so things very much change over time. We're going to take a break. When I come back, we'll talk about more of the Stanley Cup, what to expect in the next game. I'll be right back.
keep on hiding, but I can't reach the surface. Everybody's living different, I just can't compare. Too much left to bottle, took another shot of pushing it up, but I can't find a way to know. I'm stuck, it's happens every month. I don't really ask for much, I just need to, I just need to, I just need to touch. While I'm in this hole, I don't wanna watch it go. No, I don't wanna watch it, I don't wanna watch it. They just tell me why I feel so stuck in my mind, but it's nothing. I can't change, no, I won't do it for no one. Driving, see you passing by. I just think that I deserve some change.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Sports Kingdom. It's worth mentioning that Brandon Montour also scored last night for the Florida Panthers. But as some know, last night Tkachuk not only celebrated after the game, but had a one-point comeback, but leave the game for a time being. He had previously hit Jack Eichel vigorously in one of the early game matchups between both teams in the Stanley Cup, but fast forward last night, Tkachuk was taken out by different Vegas Golden Knight. And so, it's possible the Florida Panthers could have very much used Tkachuk's presence the whole game and avoided overtime. But the Florida Panthers nonetheless went on to win. It was a big, momentous win for the Florida Panthers, thing, and capitalize on the huge opportunity was huge, but it's also worth mentioning that, you know, like I mentioned before, players like Marsho Stone, two original players, were going to capitalize on as well on certain moments and be main X factors for the Vegas Golden Knights last night, with both of them scoring at least a goal. It was mentioned after the game by TNT how Jack Eichel's getting paid $10.5 million, doing all the right little things and such, but in my opinion, for someone that I think could be doing way better in Vegas, even right now in the Stanley Cup final. Just begs the question. I think a lot of teams would certainly covet Jack Eichel if it's again put on the market. And for someone who's, again, doing all the right little things right now, particularly on the ice, he could very much, I think, as time moves along, be moved around. He could very much have a career playing with the Vegas Golden Knights, Buffalo Sabres, and many other teams possibly, the way I see it. But for now, he's certainly just got to be elated on the ride right now towards a Stanley Cup championship. And I think he's really made himself a team player first, and maybe like I feel right now, he's just being a team player, going out and trying to win a Stanley Cup. But maybe I also realize he could be very much realizing a good amount of potential. Like, he's never he's never going to possibly be as good as some thought him out to be, but and I really enjoy his game. It's just I think maybe game four or game five now, looking forward, he can certainly have a much bigger impact and help take the Vegas Golden Knights onto a 3-1 lead or 4-1 series victory at this point. I think the Florida Panthers have just about enjoyed their success last night, but I don't think they're going to necessarily, just like Miami, I think they're going to lose out on one of their games at home in a crucial series and then be faced with a much difficult challenge on the road, game five, and will possibly lose. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights, they were outshot last night. And for certain games, I was looking back, you know, when the Golden Knights were outshot, they lost to the Capitals in the 2018 Stanley Cup Final. And so you can make a case that maybe Maybe Coach Maurice hasn't seen the best out of his squad yet. They got to, of course, you know, as resilient they've been, they've come from a number 8 Eastern Conference seed and with a 42-38 record, come this far, just like the Miami Heat. It's going to be interesting, but if I had to determine who will win between the Florida Panthers, Vegas Golden Knights game four, I'd probably have to say the Golden Knights, I think. Yeah, I'll just stick with my original Stanley Cup prediction as much as I favor the Panthers from a fan standpoint. I'll just have to say I believe the Golden Knights will win and at least take game four for now, which will be on Saturday, and followed by that, the series this year has been facing huge intervals, which means a lot of rest for certain players like Tkachuk to get back on the ice and play his best in game four at home. So should be interesting. So we got the next break, I figure I'll do another 30 minutes on air and then head to break. Figure I gotta work on getting some good break ads or info for you guys. But in the meantime, you can call into the show 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. I'm your host, Sean Brad the King, and we're just talking the Stanley Cup final last night and some of what happened this morning between the New Jersey Devils and Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets made yet another move, this time for Damon Severson. And so with their third-round pick, a couple other picks along with the first-round pick head to Philadelphia. Everyone's wondering, what will the Columbus Blue Jackets do now next with their third overall pick, their highest pick in quite some time? What will they do? More NHL draft coverage, of course, later on YouTube, youtube.com/user/SportsCamTV is where you can find all of our draft coverage. But quickly going based off what I have gathered up so far, I think you really can't go wrong with either Fantilli or Leo Carlson, two tremendously gifted puck talent players. They got a knack for taking their puck talent to their advantage and to the next level. Fantilli, again, some experience in college as one of, if not the best, freshman in all of college hockey this past year. And then you got Carlson, who isn't as maybe sharp or experienced, but flashy just yet on paper as you'd say Fantilli. Carlson may be unlike Fantilli, but he has almost about the same size, 6'3". Can play front line possibly, and Connor Bedard, definitely the most highly touted prospect going into this year's draft, but you take just a look at the size factor. I think size does still play a factor in the NHL, despite what people say about Jack Hughes and some other centers who happen to be at least 5'10", like Connor Bedard. I think Connor Bedard is very much going to have a solid NHL career. Do I think he's going to maybe burst out right away and be and have the same impact Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews had on the city of Chicago, for example? Chicago in the past has faced many challenges of determining prospects, such as Syed and then DePrincat, who's yet on the trade block possibly once again, according to what the NHL Network is saying. And Chicago, they definitely got to get this right, because Fantilli, I think, could very well be the steal of at least the top five of this year's NHL draft. During the World Juniors, I watched Connor Bedard was very physical on the offensive boards, very, very relentless, showed off his speed and talent overall. I think, again, quickly going back to Leo Carlson, he has the puck talent, he has the size. For a number five overall talent or less, somewhere in the top five, you get a projected at this point, could very well have some sort of impact, I feel, still. Some great players that always go in the top five, when you consider Kale McCarr at number three, and then I remember Nathan MacKinnon being drafted along with Seth Jones, along with then I was mentioning previously the other day, Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel. Many talent. Just redirected back to Kale McCarr. He was a third round. He was third overall pick. Joe B was a third overall pick. So much can be said for what someone who flies on the radar, possibly like Leo Carlson, compared to Connor Bedard and Fantilli, does if given the opportunity, being drafted third overall by the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Columbus Blue Jackets, of course, like I said, need to maybe at this point consider the offensive talent in this year's NHL draft after picking up Provorov, Severson, Werenski. I just think it's clear to the eye that there's really no goalies maybe as talented as Carlson, Bedard, Fantilli right there in that top three. So even though it would probably be great to get hands on Fantilli or Bedard, I see Carlson as at the very least likely to be the very next good pick, best available pick off the board at number three. So we have some I guess stuff to run down with some of this time remaining left towards the next break. Real quickly though, wanna quickly shout out Ben Simmons. Apparently, he was seen working out for the first time in quite a while a couple of days ago. I guess, you know, really he's trying to realize, maybe come to terms that he needs to pull himself together if he wants to sustain a living for the remaining future of his career in the NBA, possibly. With the Brooklyn Nets, for example, the Nets have him as the highest paid player on their roster right now. I really don't think the Nets want to keep him around any further. And so that leads me to believe, okay, I just got a notification, Tobias Harris is also working out, doing shoot around drills, and what's a friend of Ben, real good friend of Ben Simmons during their time together in Philadelphia. They worked out and collaborated together in Philadelphia. And so with Tobias Harris also being yet, I believe, an overrated high-paid player on the Sixers, being the highest on Philadelphia's salary roll, payroll, it leads me to believe, wouldn't it be something, okay, I think Sixers fans have shut the door on Ben Simmons, but what if Ben Simmons returns to Philadelphia, believe it or not? I say that because Philly right now could use at least anything they can get for Tobias Harris. And play Ben Simmons to their advantage if, say, James Harden leaves. If James Harden leaves, it's likely the Sixers are going to yet have to find a different facilitator. And with or without Ben Simmons, take advantage of whatever they can get in the draft or free agency. They have zero picks, so I think it's much telling. They could very well opt for free agency, maybe trade off future picks, but I don't think they want to necessarily trade off future picks unless, I don't know, Ben Simmons, okay, he's working out right now. If he's going to show the absolute devotion to the Sixers and fans, you know, he was seen watching the Sixers Celtics game last postseason, even though I believe he may have been trolling many Sixer fans, but you know, if many Sixer fans just look back, a lot of Sixer fans really loved the I didn't really love the pick entirely 100%, but many other Sixer fans did at the time. 2006 NBA draft, Ben Simmons drafted. He had a phenomenon story to ESPN, and now ties to Victor Wembanyama. Well, Ben Simmons, he brought Philly some of their best years along with Joel Embiid in that one year we had Jimmy Butler. I think it's possible we see Ben being our last number one overall draft selection, and now just squeezing in Ben Simmons into a situation. He may contribute. I mean, it's definitely a whole different time now with Philadelphia. Years later, they brought in some sharpshooters along to go with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. I mean, it's possible he can contribute wherever he goes. I don't know if the Sixers would take him, if maybe a team like the Heat would take him, but I think he still does bring something to the table, and this offseason should definitely be interesting. We'll have much more coverage going on, but I want to with the remaining 15 minutes before break, look at what's trending right now, what's going on in the latest news, Maple Leafs, another AHL news just in, have hired Shane Doan, who is, of course, a huge-time player in Phoenix. The time the Coyotes were red hot in that state and of Arizona, and were then called Phoenix. They're now called the Arizona Coyotes. They had to, during the pandemic, I was reading, play at ASU, but of course, ASU is a great university, I feel, even though I've never stepped foot on it. I was offered the opportunity to go and attend ASU, but I believe then I heard Shane Doan's son played college somewhere, maybe possibly I read for ASU, and is now, I think, on the brink of entering the NHL. I guess I'll have more on that later on for you guys if you tune in as often as you do. But with Shane Doan to the Maple Leafs, you talk about you talk about someone who has a fine history of the game.
I think
The Maple Leafs are getting a good individual. Only question is, how will he adjust in only just his first season as a GM in Toronto? I think for a city like Toronto, they need a really, and as much as I liked their previous GM, especially before, they definitely need a. Any such help they can get, even though it can be well said, someone who's been an exec for many years and has had to make tough decisions. Before now, the helm of Toronto. I like Shane Doan, but he's going to have some upcoming challenges in the draft for agency. I'd say You could go back, listen to one of my previous shows on what the Maple Leafs should do with Austin Matthews. The very first thing Shane Doan has to do is, of course, decide on Austin Matthews' future. But other than that, I'd just say it should be an interesting offseason in the NHL with some time left to go in the Stanley Cup Final. So, after the break, we'll touch on the NBA finals and we'll preview later on the card of upcoming UFC 289 Nunes and a new. New face in mind I'll get to later on, but I guess for the remainder of time we could go over quickly some of what took place last night in Major League Baseball. Last night I was watching the Phillies and Tigers, of course. Tigers according to MLB Network, in the past 8 games have been barely scoring and hitting the ball with a 124 team batting average throughout the past 8 games, even though they were able to score a couple runs off of some of the Phillies bullpen, and most particularly Craig Kimbrel. Fans showering with booze towards Craig Kimbrel. I mean, has really the culture just changed in Philadelphia? I mean, I think ever since the new ownership, I mean, it's certainly been nice winning with Bryce Harper. Team USA hero, Trey Turner so far, and others, but I say the culture's changed because, you know, with former Phillies chairman David Montgomery no longer around, things have changed with new billionaire entrepreneur, now Phillies chairman, John Middleton, definitely different background, person, all around. Has he been, I think, as money crazy so far as you'd say Steve Cohen of the Mets? No, but he's put out a culture now that, strives on, of course, winning, but also doing whatever means necessary, going out, signing free agents, or making the extra move to slot in a certain position. For example, you may include guys like Gregory Soto, Cody Clemens this offseason. Not being entirely crazy, but look at some of the signings, of course, and then the Phillies gave up for Brandon Marsh, hitting less than 270 now, his batting average dropping from 300 to now less than 270 within a span of about a month or so. And giving up prospects along the way, like Logan Ohapi, Sixto Sanchez, even though both are injured right now. I just think something gives a little bit. You're paying all that money, but yet again, so far, still, it might be an adjustment still. The Phillies all of a sudden becoming this dominant team after making a World Series run to appearing in the World Series against the Houston Astros. I think it's taken some fans some time to adjust to the new winning culture and ways, but I just say it's changed because the previous regime, the previous culture necessarily was also patient on homegrown prospects and talent and developing stars and early on rapport with fans. With that being said, fan attendance, briefly put, has still not sold out as many games as it has in the past, most recently being the core of Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, and Ryan Howard. And so even though the winning culture has obviously been nice, still with some of the big contracts the Phillies have not yet to sell out as often as I'd lead to possibly like and believe. So, a couple minutes left. I'd also like to touch on real quickly, looked at the weekly power rankings and MLB, and right there is the Baltimore Orioles right behind the Tampa Bay Rays at number one, followed by the Rangers who, still, no matter what people say, they still, I think, have a good chance at reaching the postseason without Jacob DeGrom. And then the Baltimore Orioles worth touching on. I've been watching the past couple of days now. Aaron Hicks off to a solid start. I think
think somebody tells me he wanted to get out of New York, and now just go throw dirt on Yankee fans, just like they did with Hicks. You know, Hicks was, you know, reading some of his quotes in the paper prior to the season. You know, he was just genuinely, very genuinely, not excited, but thrilled to be getting another opportunity and chance with the Yankees and maybe some of the fans. But things still work out now. You know, Hicks has been off to a solid start in Baltimore, I feel. And then last night, I thought a huge gem play out of Gunnar Henderson. I mean, Henderson's continuing to prove his worth. And so it's 1:15. I'm going to take a break here, get a quick water break. And when we come back, maybe I'll touch on some NFL news. We talked about Josh Allen being Madden 24 cover athlete. We talked about several other NFL news in recent days and weeks, but as I'm reading here, Panthers moved Bryce Young past Andy Dalton on depth chart. We'll talk about that, as well as the Broncos, what they did, as well as other stuff. We'll be right back.
Here I'm taking see you passing by. I just think that I deserve some change.
Just reading a little bit of NFL content. Just reading a little bit about the Vikings. And very interesting situation, I feel, in Minnesota right now. They're I always feel they have always been on the brink of the next move. Always been somewhat ahead of the curve, even though they've quite never been as good of a standing within terms of the quarterback position. People may say, oh, well, Kirk Cousins is top 10. He isn't that bad of a quarterback, but, and don't get me wrong. I don't think he isn't, except, I think, Vikings fully guaranteed his salary. I think by now you could argue that since that time the Vikings have fully guaranteed his salary, the market has obviously changed, and with quarterbacks and a quarterback of his caliber, I should really go as far to say that even though not a fan, he still, this coming year,
feel he has a tremendous opportunity. He really has a tremendous opportunity this year, despite the loss of Dalvin Cook. Trying to look up what something what I read means. Oh, okay, that's cool. You know, without Dalvin Cook, there's some talk of Alex Mattison starting or Daniel Hunter. Hunter has been seen at OTAs. That's always concerning with running backs. Running backs tend to withhold a lot for some apparent reason, most particularly money. And, you know, really, it should just be the general consensus with these running backs that demand more money that the years definitely come far more important in terms of running back contract negotiations with Viking talent such as Daniel Hunter, Dalvin Cook, or even Alexander Mattison for over 4 years. Dalvin Cook rushed for well over 1,000 rushing yards. He really made an impact right out of the gates from Florida State University. And can he have been better if not for injuries? Yeah, but I mean, I think he could have been more highly drafted. But at the time of the 2017 NFL draft, you know, he was well highly touted in the first round, not too often running backs get that privilege of being called in the first round and earning a good amount of salary, annual salary, to start off. Now, Dalvin Cook, he's sure made good of a living despite Daniel Hunter's situation. Whereas with Hunter, again, I think he's just demanding more money, possibly with withholding, possibly all because of money. Or amount of snaps, amount of bonus leeway and exposure he'll get on the field in his contract. Or possible new contract, but quick shout out to Oklahoma. They won the softball college softball World Series. 6 out of 10 years they won, and their coach now is probably amongst up there as one of the best women's coaches in all of women's sports, being second all time in career wins, pretty much sticking around, being so loyal to the Oklahoma program and winning huge. I'll definitely be more closely watching some of what unfolds with the College Baseball World Series right now. You know, Coastal Carolina stave off a more good, well-known program, and then there, you know, then there are obviously some draft prospects we'll get into later on. I keep saying some elite freshmen and sophomores who are standing out. Not being as showcased as much in the draft, but then again, showcasing what they have in them, whether freshman or sophomore. Yeah, so I think yet again, Kirk Cousins, he has a tremendous opportunity in front of him. I think most particularly his wide receiver corps. You know, so his wide receiver corps couldn't be any better than recent memory and time with the with the talent such as Justin Jefferson, now Jordan Addison. Their offensive line, their offensive line is going to have to stand to get better, I feel. There are many other good years I've seen out of some of most particularly the Vikings offensive line, but shouldn't go without mentioning, they're now without Dalvin Cook, and I think according to reports, he may land in Miami, but I don't know. I think he could land with Miami, but then again, I think Miami has some good running backs on their roster. I like the draft pick they selected later on out of Texas A&M, but they got some veteran depth. I don't know who's going to be willing to take on Dalvin Cook, really, but I think for now I could say is with all speculation of him and DeAndre Hopkins, Dalvin Cook based off his injuries, based off as I was looking up his EPA rushing rate, a lot of times he's gone for a single rush. He's averaged out to be sort of leveled in at this point with the middle tier / bottom of NFL running backs, and it's not like he's been putting on the same stats recently as as efficiently as he has, most particularly early on in his career. I really see him at the very least dropping down. at least in terms of some stats, overall quality, and being an official runner for some team willing to possibly give him maybe a good chunk of salary for 1 year, for example, I think chances are a team's going to be wise and give him possibly what he wants, but then again, just one year. So, because I think then Dalvin Cook's gonna try to capitalize, hopefully on maybe 1 year, and go for a bigger contract. But you don't know, and you don't know about what it's made possible for the Panthers to all of a sudden make Bryce Young the number one quarterback on their depth chart. All of a sudden, next to Andy Dalton. I still feel somewhat under the boat about Bryce Young since I first analyzed him during the 2023 NFL Draft Watch Along on YouTube, and that, I don't know, there may come a point in time during preseason, you know, Bryce has to yet again compete with Andy Dalton, I feel, but likely chances are he is going to get the start, and we're gonna see what he's made of come time week one. I think the Carolina Panthers aren't too hesitant at all that they want to showcase what they have thought to be truly made of Bryce Young when he was selected number one overall. So OTAs for now, don't want to get too much caught up in the rush of some NFL news. But I'll end it with Frank Clark before we go on to our final topic. Frank Clark really signed a deal with the Denver Broncos. Well worth and good range, I feel. And, you know, he's a good, someone who's no longer in some of his best years, I feel. I feel a lot of times with the Chiefs, they just go ahead and dump a player right after they've really been useful with guys such as Frank Clark, Holly, and then look at Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu had a marvelous Super Bowl run with the Chiefs, and then, you know, wasn't really talked about when he went elsewhere. The Denver Broncos, you know, different front office, different coach, different quarterback. I think Frank Clark's going to benefit with playing next to players such as Surtain, Simmons. You know, pretty good secondary, you know, when you consider what they've managed to accomplish in the draft without you know, some veteran quarterbacks, most notably the loss of Champ Bailey. Uh,
there may never be someone as good as Champ Bailey, I feel, in Broncos history. But in terms of cornerbacks that was especially able to play as long as 13 years in the NFL. But, you know, certainly a good secondary. And then, you know, Randy Gregory, you know, amongst names that I think has been also waiting to contend again. I mean, I think there's some driven talent on and some Super Bowl experience talent such as Clark and then Russell Wilson. I was saying on Twitter, someone, look at Daniel Jones. He may have not taken tremendous leaps last year, but there are some eye popping moments. You said, you know, he very much took small steps in at least leading the Giants on to the postseason last year. Even though now I disagree much so with many others of his contract. Aaron Boone live on ESPN right now. Yankees game postponed against the White Sox Wednesday due to sky. Yeah, I was actually in the Northeast here, just doing a show the other day, and I never brought it up during the show, but like, I didn't know till after, you know, there's a Canadian wildfire that spread throughout the Northeast. And so, oh, this just did. Nuggets get second round pick, upcoming draft, 2024 first and second round pick. Thunder acquire protected 2029 first round pick. So how about that? Nuggets making a move toward NBA finals. I mean, they're already prepping. You know, I actually thought about it. Speaking of which, I'll just end it real quickly on Frank Clark and the Broncos by saying, you know, there's definitely hope within that organization this year. They're going to have to take obviously small steps, but over time, I think they have a good shot once again, at the very least right now, contending in the playoffs. So, now Aaron Judge live on air, and or Aaron Boone, just real quickly want to say that yeah, I did bring it up, and now bring up, you know, that as I'm thinking about it, possible storms on the way here. Looks very dark outside here, so just maybe a little distracted here, looking at the weather outside, along with some of Aaron Boone talking. But onto the main topic, final topic of today, which is the Miami Heat, Denver Nuggets tonight, Game 4. Like I said before, if the Nuggets don't if the Heat don't capitalize this game, it's over. It's over. I guess you could say, have sort of come back to surprise us all these times with the never believing. For example, Jimmy Butler would return to the finals with the Miami Heat as an 8-seeded opponent, and, you know, many times fight, and even, you know,
struck out many doubters in Game 7 of the Boston Celtics series at Boston. And as you come to find out, not only did Miami win, but, you know, Celtics came back and, you know, I think in these, maybe in third situations like that, and, you know, mentioning before, you know, the Heat have had to come back from all the way down Eastern Conference Finals last year, come all the way back this year and play, you know, especially against some major market cities in New York or Boston. I mean, with Denver, I think they're entirely different. They're much more talented. Much more to gain all around, but with the Heat, they're at home, and Jimmy Butler, in fact, said that he is, quote, very pleased with the addition of Lionel Messi to Miami. I mean, Miami, they got to feel great. Jimmy Butler and Lionel Messi. That's awesome. That's awesome. But, you know, what I was about to get to was, before, Christian Braun, of course, has been, very impressive to me this year in postseason. But, you know, I've been sort of beginning to question, you know, after just seeing the Nuggets, they're already making moves, and it made people still much doubt in Jamal Murray, but still, I think if the Nuggets win this series, and Jamal Murray just continues to play really consistent, I think many just question Jamal Murray because he's not as gifted as you'd say many other guards or even Nikola Jokic right now, but I keep thinking he's certainly got the potential right now to not only win this series, but expand upon his game. And, man, we're at 26 right now. We got to also consider that fact. And not too many 26-year-olds his size, his consistency right now, able to go up and compete for possibly many more championships down the line. But for now, I was thinking, you know, after just seeing the Nuggets, they pulled off another seismic shift with not only going to the NBA Finals, but, you know, being flexible enough to, unlike the Sixers right now, to stock up on some more draft picks. I think, you know, first take was saying today on ESPN that it's very well likely that the Nuggets are going to have no choice in giving Jokic the Supermax, and the way I view it, he could very well go as far as to being the highest paid player in history and some of the highest paid throughout some major sports. If you want to know me, I think Jokic is that good. Yet again, I'll say he's going to be better than Wembanyama, very much the best player for years to come in the league. And after possibly winning game four tonight, at least. And going on to, I'd say he well at least deserves not $327 million, according to what they're saying, but very much $400 million. I would very much give Jokic $400 million, considering some of the class of talent. He's put himself forth in all time and led his team through, many matchups, I feel, at times on his own. He's someone who's continued to expand upon his game, unlike Giannis, for example. I don't know at this point if Giannis is going to use, all the motivation from his press conference and go on to do bigger and better things. I'm really not sure, even though I still believe he's very much in the conversation to lead the Milwaukee Bucks many times to the Eastern Conference, depending on first how head coach Adrian Griffin is and happens to resonate with his players. I just think, Nuggets, they made another smart move ever since they brought in some new front office personnel. I remember there was some years Denver fans had to they had to endure some tough losing seasons without Carmelo Anthony. That time they traded Carmelo Anthony, things were lopsided for a while until they answered with new personnel. And so I think the Nuggets can load up with those draft picks, but it's a coincidence. Even thinking back to yesterday, even just hearing Rick Bucher, who I went on to praise on our Twitter page, social media, that we got a retweet. That was nice of Rick, but a retweet and a quote. None other as I'd expect. Cool, but with Aaron Rodgers at the podium now. Hearing Rick Bucher say that, right now, Christian Braun at the very moment is a role player. I don't know. It's just like I kind of think, he has a certain good amount of potential to stay in the league for a very long time. But I kind of wonder, I've always thought, like, even though I'm a fan of him, does he figure into Denver's plans down the line? Even if right now we're seeing him, of course, develop into possibly a starting role kind of player. I think down the line, does he very much figure into Denver's plans, especially after stockpiling all these draft picks from OKC. I mean, what are the chances, you know, Denver stockpiles, you know, unloads some talent, looking for a substantial pay raise. I think it's very well possible, you know, I think it's very well possible Denver will likely stockpile and bring back most of the same team, but then again, you can't keep around all the talent the Denver Nuggets have on their roster right now. With yet again mentioning Bruce Brown is set to demand a good amount of money, and then you know, Michael Porter. I mean, I think he definitely adds a good chemistry factor to the team, but by now, but does he? I'd say in more other terms, now figure into Denver's salary plan. So I think much will be said after this series between the Heat, but for now, Game 4 is on the line, and I can only assume that the Heat must take greater shots, most particularly from three. They took 21 shots last game, 6 of 21. And, you know, this is what I say about, you know, the three-pointer versus a big like Jokic. I mean, I think Jokic is continuing to make a prime example time after time that bigs still and do matter in the league, and there's a price to be made when you're not all the time driving as much as you'd say Jokic, or laying in a bucket inside down low the paint and forcing yourself to score buckets. So I think Jimmy Butler, someone has a good knack for that, but he's got to come out and play exceedingly well. So again, you can reach out social media, even myself at JBravoSK, and continue to follow along with Sports Kingdom. Today we've done about 2 hours. Want to thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy Game 4 of Miami. Lionel Messi, baby.